It's been exactly a year since the war in Sudan broke out, resulting in widespread displacement, devastation, and a humanitarian disaster. As the Sudanese army and the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary group continue their deadly power struggle, civilians bear the brunt of the violence and instability gripping the nation. The fight between Generals Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo has put Sudan in one of its most crippling crises in years, and hopes for a ceasefire have failed to come into effect despite serious diplomatic efforts. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation there continues to deteriorate. Over 8.5 million people have been displaced, with many seeking refuge in neighboring countries like Egypt, Chad, and South Sudan. The lives of millions are being threatened, with reports of child deaths related to malnutrition already emerging. The UN has said that 18 million out of Sudan's 48 million people are acutely food insecure, and less than 5% of the population can even afford a full meal. This is Beyond the Headlines, and I'm your host, Nada Al-Tahir. In this episode, we delve into the heart-wrenching realities of Sudan's year-long conflict, looking at how the fighting generals are struggling for control over Sudan, and how all of this has affected civilians. Joining me now is Hamza Hindawi, the Nationals correspondent in Cairo who has been covering Sudan for years. Hamza, we spoke last year when the war had just started. We'll delve into the details of the conflict, but first, can you provide an overview of the current situation in Sudan? Where are we now?
I think we're in a much, much worse situation than we were when the war first broke out. Apart from widespread hunger that is impacting people in Sudan, particularly those who live in the West, regions like Darfur, the war is still raging without any glimmer of hope anywhere that it could end soon. As a matter of fact, the war is expanding to include factions other than the main belligerents, the army and the rapid support forces. Many of the rebel groups that had existed prior to the war, either in the West or elsewhere in the country, are joining the war on one side or another. The army is also actively recruiting able-bodied civilians to fight alongside the troops against the RSF. So it's like Sudan is at war with itself at the moment. And it's not just about the army and the rapid support forces anymore. The army is also on the offensive in various regions of Sudan, hoping to regain territory it had lost in over the last 12 months. So just to sum it all up, it looks really bad in Sudan.
Which side has more control now over the major parts of Sudan?
Well, the army had not been faring very well in this fight. It lost almost 80% of Khartoum, the capital, to the RSF in the first few weeks of the war. The army has also lost control of a string of cities in Darfur and in Kordofan. And more importantly, the army in December lost to Wad Madani, which is a major city just south of Khartoum, that is located in Al Jazeera province, which is literally the breadbasket of Sudan. But the army has somewhat regained the initiative and has made some significant battlefield gains in Omdurman, which is one of the three cities that make up the Sudanese capital. And it's now getting ready to try and wrest back control of Wad Madani, south of Khartoum. I think it's going to be a great deal tougher for the army to try and recapture cities in the West like Al Janina on the Chad border and other localities in Darfur. The army has also taken delivery of Iranian drones in recent months, and that might actually tip the balance of the fight in Sudan. We'll see. But certainly, the fighting is picking up. The army has regained a measure of initiative. And like I said, the battle for Wad Madani is looming, and it might actually start within maybe the next week or two. But there's no telling.
I mean, we talk about this from a military perspective, but what about the civilians who are the most affected in Sudan, particularly in terms of displacement and casualties? What's going on there?
To be a civilian in Sudan these days is possibly the worst possible situation anyone can find himself in. The country already has 8 million displaced people. More than a million of them have actually left the country. Wad Madani, which we mentioned earlier, that was captured by the RSF in December, has practically become a ghost city because people are so scared of living under the rule of the RSF because of its track record of looting, sexual assaults, arbitrary detention, and torture. So people's lives have been turned upside down in Sudan, in places like Khartoum, which on the eve of the war had a population of about 7 million. And I think about maybe more than half of these have left the capital, if not more. People in Darfur, where the RSF has waged ethnically motivated attacks. Many of them have crossed the border into Chad, which has now the largest population of Sudanese refugees, possibly up to 1 million. Others left for South Sudan. Those, when you watch videos that are posted online from Khartoum, it is completely deserted, almost completely deserted. It's like a ghost town.
So Sudan's army has been trying to, as you mentioned, gain control over areas that are crucial for food production, like Al Jazeera. How has the overall conflict worsened the country's food security?
I think many people are out of jobs. You must bear in mind, whenever you talk about Sudan, since the war broke out a year ago, that Sudan was, before the war, a very poor country where many people struggled really hard to make ends meet. Prior to the war breaking out, hunger was a problem in Sudan. Not as widespread as it is now, but it was there. So when you have no job, no source of income, banks are not operating at full capacity, no bank branches open in Khartoum, but people rely on electronic mobile phone-based transfers to pay for the food. People who are the large expatriate community of Sudanese who are employed in the Gulf and elsewhere in the world are finding it difficult to send money back to their families to survive in Sudan. Possibly about 60 to 70% of all health facilities in Khartoum are no longer working. Then on top of this, there is the obvious danger that on any given day, you could get killed by a stray artillery shell, by a reckless airstrike, or a rocket that has veered off target. One thing about Sudan these days, there are a multitude of ways in which you can have a tragic death, and there's no shortage of that, especially in places like Khartoum.
So can you walk us through the diplomatic efforts that are aimed at ending the conflict and what's being done? And there have been reports that the U.S. is appointing a new special envoy for peace talks. What do we know about all of this?
The U.S. has indeed named a special envoy to Sudan, and the U.S. has indeed called for renewed peace negotiations between the army and the RSF for later this month. However, the track record of the two warring sides does not give us much hope that a political settlement of the conflict can be reached anytime soon. You will remember that in the first weeks or months of the war, the United States, together with Saudi Arabia, mediated a series of peace negotiations in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, and indeed agreed several ceasefires, none of which were observed, and they didn't make any change on the ground. Now, the latest from the army, particularly from General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, the army chief, is that they are in absolutely no mood to talk, and that they are opting for the military resolution of this conflict. So I am not really hopeful that a political settlement of the conflict can be reached anytime soon, but obviously you never know. The army might find a resolution of the conflict that reflects its gains on the ground. But I understand also that the military would have to do a much, much better job and regain a great deal more territory from RSF control so they can go to the negotiating table and sit there and have an edge over the enemy, the RSF.
You paint a very stark picture of what's going on, and you say that there isn't a real glimmer of hope in the near future. What are the long-term potential consequences of the conflict? What hope is there for the displaced people to go back to their homes and live normal lives?
Sudan has had a series of very long civil wars since independence in 1956. The war in South Sudan, for example, lasted more than two decades. The civil war in Darfur never really ended. So what are the long-term consequences of this war? Sudan would be a failed state. Sudan can break up into several mini-states, not necessarily states in the full meaning of the word, but like little fiefdoms controlled by rebel groups, the RSF, army, factions that break away from the army. The sky's the limit for how far Sudan can plunge into chaos, lawlessness. So is there hope for people to return home? You'll be surprised to learn that some families have returned to their homes in Omdurman, where areas that has been regained by the army. And it is not like it is completely safe. It's not like it is anywhere near the life they had before the war, but at least some of these people are back in their homes. I see the numbers are very small, but it's kind of indicative that people of Sudan continue to have a significant amount of faith in the army, and they would rather live under army control rather than the RSF, despite some of the excesses committed by the army during the war. You will remember that both the army and the RSF have been accused by the UN of committing war crimes in this war. But it would seem that people trust the army a great deal more than they trust the RSF. To go back to your question, is there hope for the millions of people who have been displaced? And the answer is simple. There's always hope. But I don't think anyone is going home anytime soon.
That's it for today. Please remember to follow and subscribe to get all the latest episodes as soon as they come out. This episode was produced by Arthur Edison and Dua Farid, and I'm your host, Nadal Tahir.